broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 18th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. Sorry about that. Hour two of two in our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. FreedomsRisingSun.com, the website. His goal to preserve the nation. His name, Dr. Scott Bradley. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good way to start the new week, I guess I'd say.
As always. Now, there's a lot to talk about in the news, and I'm going to cover a bunch of news stories and pick your brain, Scott, Kurt, and more. There's an urgent national call. It's a national call to action to assist flood disaster relief in Nebraska. It's great news. Do you want to know who's doing it? Any guesses?
I don't.
Some churches?
I'm sure they are, but that's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about oathkeepers.org, guys.
Cool.
So Oath Keepers, you know, they take on all kinds of different issues. Sometimes it's crowd security, sometimes it's border patrol, sometimes it's, but in this case, oathkeepers.org says urgent national call to action to assist flood disaster relief in Nebraska. What do you think of that, Scott?
Well, I think this is exactly what it should be and what America's been known for the last 230 years. I mean, this is not the place for the national government, the federal government, whatever you want to call it. We could have that discussion about the 39th Federalist Paper, but you know what I'm talking about. It is not the role of the national government to intervene and spread the wealth around, take from some and give to another. And America has always been known as the most generous and willing to step in and help their neighbor, a nation on earth. And I think it's a magnificent approach to things, a private free will offering of individuals that want to go out and do good for their fellow man. And I applaud the action and hope that somebody recognizes that the government doesn't have the right to steal from everybody to go decide where they're going to give the money to somebody else.
Well, and that's exactly why we highlight this, Scott Bradley, is because I think Oath Keepers are spot on. And of all the people that could be doing a great job here, I mean, I appreciate that churches are involved, and that's great, too. But I'm saying, you know what? The Oath Keepers are stepping up and doing exactly what they ought to be doing. I think they deserve a kudos and a real focus in the media, but I don't see anybody hardly covering it except for us.
Yeah, in fact, when you brought it up, it was like I drew a blank. I mean, it has not been out there anywhere.
And I didn't do it to catch you guys by surprise. I'm doing it to show that, you know what? The only way I know is that because I'm good friends with Stuart, the leader of Oath Keepers, the founder and president, he emailed me this, and that's why I know. But otherwise, I probably wouldn't know either, is the point.
Yeah, I think that there's a concerted effort to obfuscate the real solutions and emphasize the false solutions. And it is just this bigger government is the bigger solution, and it's always where they're going to go with it. And I take my hat off to them. I truly do.
Yeah, now I was at church yesterday, and somebody was telling us about a lot of this humanitarian aid and a lot of the good that the churches do and things like that. And we were talking about this. And this guy told me this thing that's kind of a joke in a way, but it's true. So they're down there helping out with this crisis. He didn't even name which crisis. That's not important. They were just helping in a disaster relief kind of scenario, a humanitarian effort kind of thing or whatever. And so one guy walks up to him and he says, man, I don't know what's going on, but this is phenomenal. We got two religious groups down here helping us. One of them is the Mormons and the other one's the LDS.
Yeah, I think it was a governor actually that did a press release and he talked about that. I think it was in Oklahoma, right, or Arkansas.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of comical because the LDS is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are nicknamed the Mormons, but it's the same group. And it was just comical that, you know, he felt like there was two religious organizations out there doing a great job. But it just goes to show that that's where the real solutions lie, whether it be the Oath Keepers, whether it be your church, whether it be a nonprofit charitable organization, whether it be all these groups can come together from their own free will and choice, and they can put money and time and logistics and supplies together. And not only can they do so less expensively, but they can have a rapid fire response that just runs circles around any government entity doing this. And so I really commend Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers, and we're going to try to get them on to talk about exactly what's going on. But I'm telling you, an urgent, wow, you don't even need to declare an emergency. You can just call it an urgent national call to action. And then we can literally have people assist people suffering in the floods relief in Nebraska. And if you want to go there, oathkeepers.org. And they say, look, we've got a place for you. Whether you're a radio man, whether you're a driver, whether you're a funder of supplies that we desperately need, or whether you can get on the ground with a shovel or whatever. You know what? We'll find a place for you. What a tremendous example to follow. Anyway, I'm just grateful that we actually have the right solutions in place. Now, they're not promoted enough. They're not supported enough. That's where we try to come in and help the best we can. But they do exist, and we've got to point them out as the real answers.
There's no question, and this is maybe a little bit of an overstatement, but not a lot. The people that are waiting on FEMA for Hurricane Katrina are probably still waiting. I mean,
it's not an overstatement, by the way. I actually talked to some people that live down there in some of these different areas with some of the floods and hurricanes and disasters that have gone on, and many of them are still waiting. Many of them have been harmed by the solutions FEMA put in place, and now they're waiting on reparations for the harm that was done, even, believe it or not.
And, you know, then you get the gulag goon mentality that comes along, and if people haven't seen, it's probably still available on some YouTube someplace, of the officers going out and trying to relocate people, and there was some 80-plus-year-old woman that refused to leave and said she was okay, I'm armed here. And I've seen, she holds out an ancient revolver and an open palm with it sitting in the middle of her palm, and they brutalized this old woman. It was like they were waiting to punch somebody out, and they just pounded on her. And it's like they were taking her Second Amendment rights away, and her right to keep and bear arms, her right to defend herself, and they brutalized her as an official action of the police. And it's just astounding to me how, you know, this is used as kind of a implementation of a police state sometimes. They'll take advantage of any disaster to try and bring about, you know, some kind of more government.
Yeah, there you have it. Just amazing in terms of what's going on. But anyway, we wanted to point to that solution. And oathkeepers.org, if y'all can help, and we'll get Stuart Rhodes on to talk about it in more detail. Now, I want to talk about an interesting twist. So, there's a big old battle about this Christchurch, New Zealand shooting. Some say he was a Trump supporter. Some say he wasn't. Some say there was a manifesto. Some say it wasn't his. Some say he acted alone. Some say more were with him. The battle rages. But Chelsea Clinton and others spoke out about this. And I disagree with Chelsea Clinton's speech on this. But now students are blaming her for the Christchurch mosque terror shootings. Now, here's what's interesting. Donald Trump Jr. defends Chelsea Clinton. And now I defend Chelsea Clinton, not because I agree with her speech, but because just because someone uses their free speech, that doesn't, and whether you agree or disagree with them, that doesn't tie her, and that doesn't tie Donald Trump or anybody else to this, whatever the case may be, shooter. I don't know if it was a deranged person or if it was a government op or a black operation. I don't know. Has all the telltale signs, in my opinion, of a false flag. Nevertheless, speech does not equate to this kind of stuff on either side. And we better defend, even the wrong side, even if we disagree with their speech on this idea, or else they're going to use this to obliterate us, Scott.
Well, you know, most Americans don't have a clue, first of all, what the First Amendment says. I mean, yeah, I got my First Amendment rights, but what does that protect? I mean, it didn't create any rights. It just recognized and kind of canonized those rights, if you will. They pre-existed any government, and one of those, well, two of those, we should say, is freedom of speech and press. And the whole purpose of that was for political speech. They had the founding fathers when they wrote that. They absolutely, unequivocally, totally and completely, it was in another universe, this idea of pornography or profane language or anything that's being so widely protected now by the courts. That was not the purpose at all of this, and it would not fall under free speech and under the founding fathers' perspective of what free speech was necessary for. It was there to allow the bringing to light of political thought and ideas, and particularly to facilitate some kind of connection where someone observes something that's wrong, that the government's carrying out, that they're oppressive in some way, that some action they're doing, and be able to publicize that far and wide so the public could actually literally, in some cases, get up in arms over this thing to protect against tyranny. And that was what the First Amendment was about. Not the whole First Amendment, obviously, the religion and all that kind of stuff. But yes, the press and the speech concept was there to counter some big movement to implement tyranny. And there's things like the Federal Election Commission laws that prevent free speech, for example, that prevent us from being able to say certain things at certain points in a campaign. And that's what needs to be defended. And if we continue to do that, we'll maybe facilitate our freedom.
We also got to make sure, though, that we don't tie the violent acts of one to the speech of another, even if they are similar in nature. One doesn't precede the other. Okay? I might believe that babies, killing babies is pro-death. Okay? But that doesn't mean that if, you know, somebody goes up and blows up an abortion clinic that I'm responsible. The two aren't the same, folks.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying shh? Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Bradley with us. So, you know, we got a battle on our hands. Looks like there's a question now here in the news. Did Fox News shut down Justice with Jeanine? Jeanine Pirro speaking out, saying what she wants to say, and man, she got lambasted, folks. Trump tells Fox to bring back Jeanine Pirro. But the battle is this, though. She's dared to say, hey, wait a minute. You know what? this Omar lady is criticizing, and you know what? She's promoting Muslims. And you know what? Can she really wear a hijab and promote the Muslim agenda and attack the Jews and attack Israel? And can she really swear an oath to the supreme law of the land and promote her hijab and her Sharia law kind of an idea at the same time? And what gives of that? And, well, they attacked her and literally kicked her off the air over it. She was just simply saying, let's have a discussion about this. Let's have a debate. Let's use our free speech to really dig in and say, hey, whose allegiances are where? And I would submit that the backing of the Muslim agenda and the backing of the Jewish agenda or Israel, I'm not for backing either of them, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not for backing foreign nations and getting involved in foreign entanglements. That's just me. But Scott, what do you think of this?
Well, obviously, we have an agendized kind of media out there, and there's any number of people in the political spectrums that'll come to the to do angry things. And what we got to do is go back to the baseline principles. What is the oath of office? It's the United States Constitution. It's not Sharia law. It's not some other national anthem kind of thing. You don't, you know, sing praises to any country. And I really, truly wish, I mean, this sounds like maybe I'm a little bit obtuse or something like that, but I really wish that every single member of Congress, well, everybody, I mean, everybody that holds office, every morning, as they had said their morning prayers and done their scripture study, would read the United States Constitution, and then they would read George Washington's farewell address. Now, that would keep them out of our hair longer because it takes a few minutes to do all of this stuff. But that farewell address is so direct in this idea of not picking favorites and taking them to the mat. We become a slave to those favorites. If it's Israel or Islam or whatever, I mean, this woman may be an Islamic someone that's trying to foster Sharia law in the United States, or it may be someone that's trying to say we've got to go to war for Israel, or it may be for someone else. But the point of the matter is Washington's advice and counsel is so necessary for today. If we would follow that and we would maintain our independence from this, you know, knee-jerk reaction in favor of one thing or the other every time it comes up, you know what? We can be friends with everybody, but we don't have to go to the mat and go to war for everybody.
Well, here's what I find fascinating. This Omar lady's anti-Jew and speaks out. Nothing happens to her except a little bit of criticism and a, quote, censure or whatever you want to say from the House. But then Jeanine Pirro says, wait a minute now, you're criticizing Israel. I'm going to criticize Muslims. And now she literally gets fired from Fox over this thing. I'm criticizing all of them and saying, look, you can't censure people for thinking or speaking out about either one, Israel, in Omar's case. I don't agree with her, but I defend her right to say and think what she chooses. And then Jeanine Pirro criticizing the Muslims. Again, I don't want to criticize either group, but I think they have their free speech right to do either. I want to say let's avoid foreign entanglements with all of them. But can I say that?
In fact, we would not be engaged in 160 countries around the world fighting terrorism in 80 countries on six continents if we had followed George Washington's farewell address counsel. I mean, it is just absolutely absurd. And here's the problem. In his farewell address, because I suspect that all of us on this little program are going to be suspected and odious, and those are Washington's words, but here's what he said in that little sentence, two sentences. Excessive partiality for one nation and excessive dislike for another cause those whom they actuate to see danger only in one side and to serve to veil and even second the arts of influence on the other. Real patriots who may resist the intrigues of the favorite are liable to become suspected and odious, while its tools and dupes usurp the applause and confidence of the people to surrender their interests. And that is exactly what's happening in America.
That's and when you think of defending Hillary Clinton's free speech, Donald Trump Jr.'s free speech, Donald Trump himself's free speech, Omar's speech, and Pirro's speech, not to mention mine and yours, you start to get a flavor of the point, don't you?
Well, you do indeed. Now, one of the things that might be important to recognize is that if somebody gets all whacked out and the wheels fall off their approach to things, and they're in the house, as we've been talking about, it's the responsibility of the house to discipline an individual that's not maintaining decorum. It says in the Constitution, in Article 5, each house may determine the rules of its proceedings and punish its members for disorderly behavior, and with the concurrence of two-thirds, expel a member. So here's the thing. The house needs to say, and it needs to be on all sides of this. If someone is you know, beating the war drum to go to some country to go to war on their behalf, and it doesn't follow, nothing in the Constitution says we got to go be the pointy end of the spear for any part of the world. And it's any time we're going to go to war, it has a definitive, deliberative process. The justice of the war and everything has to be measured. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. But if anybody gets out of whack, it is the responsibility of the member of the House, the membership of the House, to punish members for disorderly behavior. And if it really gets out of whack, two-thirds of them can vote to kick them out. And that's where the policing needs to happen. And this idea of a newscaster, I mean, Sam, I don't know how somebody maybe come up and want to discipline you or something like that. But the fact of the matter is we have this responsibility to speak.
The way they discipline me is they just call me a racist.
Well,
and they just try to sideline me from any common, sensible discussions, right?
We could discuss that at length, but literally and truthfully, I'm concerned that this First Amendment thing is being basically shunted to ground, if you think about an electronics form.
That's
going
right.
away because they want to stop the discussion that would speak against violating the baseline principles of this nation. You know, this idea of going to war on a drop of a hat, you know, the Lindsey Graham idea, they never saw a war that they didn't want to kill some Marines in. Anywhere in the world, I mean, it is absolutely absurd to me that we have allowed people to completely co-opt this First Amendment thing, and we're more interested in protecting, you know, lewd speech and pornography than we are in protecting our liberty. And people need to recognize that's what it's there for, is to protect our liberty.
Now, what I find interesting, though, is, hey, if you want to speak out in defense of Omar, they say you're a nut. Now, I'm not defending Omar's position, and I agree that the House can, you know, shut her down or do what they want to discipline her, and they did. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with their one-sided view of this idea. So you can literally, in the name of Israel, spend my money into oblivion and put my children in harm's way unconstitutionally without declaring war, but if she speaks up against it, you're going to shut her down, and then if somebody speaks up against her, you're going to shut them down. I mean, at some point, you got to say, whoa, wait a minute. When is decorum violated justifying a response by Congress to police themselves versus when do people have a right to free speech? And there's a fine line there, sir.
There is. And indeed, if I misspoke and called it Article 5, it is Article 1, Section 5 that you need to look at. If you're looking for that, Clause 2, Article 1, Section 5, Clause 2, and you can see the House has a responsibility to maintain decorum and keep people on track. And if they get out of whack, it's their responsibility to fix it. So, anyway.
Yeah, they ought to fix it and return to constitutional currency, but that's another topic. That would stop 90% of the wars because we wouldn't have the money to fund them anyway. But nevertheless, I digress. What do you think about Trump saying we need to bring back Jeanine Pirro, Fox? What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, I think he's standing up for freedom of speech, and he's also saying that in the media, it's rare for him to find anybody who is willing to take on, you know, those issues like racism, etc., and sort of support him.
Speaking of racism, and I bring this up on purpose partly because it's the next topic and it's what they accuse all of us of. It's their only way to change the game when we're winning an argument based on constitutional principles, based on principles of God, family, and country, that they could try to checkmate us out of the game. They know we're not racists, but they say that because they know that all conversation stops. Now, here's what happened. The NBA, you know, the National Basketball Association? NBA players are now wearing shirts denouncing racism. Let's talk about that. Then we'll talk about abortion. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
That's predictable and outrageous.
That's Counselor to the President Kellyanne Conway discussing the fact that some people are blaming President Trump for the mass shooting at mosques in New Zealand on Friday.
In fact, this man compares his motivations to that of the mass shooter in Norway in 2011. And those who think that's the ancient history should go back and school themselves on what happened there. Also, this president condemns hate and evil.
Conway speaks on Fox and Friends this morning. The 28-year-old Australian suspect in the shootings, which killed 50 people and wounded dozens of others, does say in a lengthy manifesto that he sees President Trump as, quote, a symbol of renewed white identity. Meanwhile, a shooting in the Netherlands this morning leaves at least one person dead and several others wounded in what's being called a terrorist attack there. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
At least three people have been killed by flooding in the Midwest, especially hard hit Nebraska. The swelling Missouri River continues flooding parts of Iowa and Nebraska, overflowing from the heavy rains and the snow melt. The Columbus, Nebraska Mayor Jim Buckley saying his town got nearly surrounded by floodwaters, but so far it's hanging in there.
We have some people that are stranded, but they're good people that just can't get out because roads have been washed out, but they're fine. And so, you know, some people don't want to go either. When you ask them if they're okay, they say yes. So that's the situation here. We dodged the bullet very, very much so in the town of Columbus itself.
In Iowa, the Missouri River has reached above 30 feet in the state's far southwestern corner, breaking the previously set record in 2011 by at least 2 feet. Meanwhile, the governors of Iowa, Nebraska, and Wisconsin have all declared states of emergency because of the flooding. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, so now NBA players are wearing shirts denouncing racism. What do you say to that, Kurt?
Well, I'm going to do less watching of the NBA. I mean, I already did very little. I'll just make sure I support them even less. You know, there you go.
What do you say to that, Scott?
You know, it's interesting. If someone worked in let's take a big box store of some sort, and one of their employees was wearing attire that was a flagrant in-your-face kind of thing to someone. It could be racism. It could be of sexual nature. It could be something that, promoted dishonesty. It could be almost anything that they could do. It would seem to me that the owner of the store, or the management, whatever you wanted to call it, would say, hey, let's not do that, and let's give them some time off to think about it, or tell them to remove the flagrant, in-your-face kind of approach to things. And it seems to me like so much of the stuff that's going on, whether it's in the football world or the basketball world now, the employees, or it's kind of like the inmates are running the mental institution, and seems like the management team needs to say, all right, guys, and if that doesn't happen, then the so-called fans need to. Now, I have long since, I never did put myself in the fan status, but to me, it's a bunch of plain drivel and high-paid, spoiled brats, and I don't care what they're promoting. I'm not going to participate.
Yeah, and the reason that I highlight this, though, is what they're doing is they're using the media and they're using these star-studded folks to ratchet up this discussion. Of course, anybody in their right mind denounces blatant racism. The problem that I have with that is when they say James Dobson and Focus on the Family is a racist, and when they use this and manipulate this to divide, you know what? We've left the realm of truth saying, you know what? We don't believe in racial discrimination or racial abuses. We're basically using this as a wedge card to divide America and a wedge card to literally attack any opponent you disagree with. That's what this has turned into, and this is nothing more than a promotion of this agenda.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you haven't read the Communist Manifesto lately, I really promote that idea too. And the Humanist Manifesto, because you do need to know what you're up against. And if you read Marx's manifesto, you'll understand that his whole basis of how this is to be carried out is to this idea of chaos, this idea of conflict, this idea of class conflict. And so basically what is happening in America, whether it's with all of the hate crimes bills that have been finding their way through the legislatures nowadays, or this exposure of this on jerseys or whatever, it's an idea that's Marxist in its origins, and it's designed, and you can go back and look through history and find out in every case where society has been thrown into a complete chaos, it's been done through a class conflict kind of approach. And the idea is that let's stir the pot so bad that everybody, the wheels fall off of this thing, and out of that chaos comes a new order, if you will, that is Marxist, or trying to bring the Marxist thing on, some kind of socialistic kind of thing. And truthfully, it would be an abandonment of the Americanist principles this nation was founded on. This stuff has worked so much. You can see how it's got popularity, and they're using these high-priced billboards that are wearing jerseys that really aren't worth watching anyway. I mean, it's just amazing to me how the Marxist philosophies are adopted by some that seem to have probably not even learned how to read in many instances, and they're basically being pawns of the whole scheme. It's astounding to me.
There's no question, and that's why I bring it up. I don't care what the NBA players do necessarily, except for they're being used to move the needle on this divide idea. On this, whenever you're losing an argument, all you got to do is blame it on racism. All you got to do is point to somebody and look. You know what? They can say what they want about me, but I'm going to make this very clear in one sentence. We are all God's children. Let's start acting like it. Let's start behaving like we care about one another as God's children, shall we? And all I'm telling you is they can say what they want about me, but you look at my statement, and that's pretty clear, isn't it, Scott?
It is, absolutely. And you know, the Savior, when he talked about becoming one, and love one another, all those kind of things. What's going on in America today is the antithesis of that. And the race baiters are just one segment of that. And people will say, oh yeah, we'll all be one as soon as we're all communists or socialists or whatever. Come over to my side and so we can become one. No, we have something that is our baseline, and we call ourselves Americans. Again, read George Washington's farewell address. And we do understand. He talks about the sameness of our religion, our beliefs, our political inclinations. That's what America used to be until all these baiters started coming in there based upon the Marxist philosophies of divide and conquer. And I think the idea of becoming one, as was originally envisioned in this nation, is what we got to go back to, not the idea of the revolutionary perspective, the fist in the air and all that kind of stuff, and because that is Marxist, and that's where they're trying to take us. It truly is.
All right, headline: pro-death judges is my headline, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. And it looks like Kentucky, on the forefront of the whole, baby protection group, I guess you could call it, but a federal judge. The headline reads, Judge halts Kentucky fetal heartbeat abortion ban. A federal judge has now, they say, temporarily blocked Kentucky's new law banning abortions. This was hours after the governor there, Matt Bevin, signed the bill into law. The ACLU filed a legal challenge, and the judge, David J. Hale, issued a temporary restraining order to block enforcement of the law. Now, the ACLU, their attorney, said this onslaught of bans on abortion that fly in the face of Roe v. Wade are designed specifically for the purposes of trying to get the Supreme Court to reconsider Roe. Well, surprise, surprise. They say the Kentucky law would prohibit most abortions once the fetal heartbeat can be detected. They say except in a case in which the mother's life is in danger. That's a big problem, if you ask me. If the six-week ban takes effect, the consequences will be devastating, the ACLU person says. And I'm like, yeah. Well,
yeah, babies are living. They might, stand up and be constitutionalists. Yeah.
That's right. But anyway, bottom line, Sam, way down in the story, they say on the, Bevin condemned, that's the governor there, condemned those applauding infanticide and playing word games by calling murder a choice, as they make the claim such acts are the marks of courageous women. On the contrary, he says, standing up for life with the current state of our culture and against the countless millions of lobbying dollars from leftists is a display of true courage. That's what he wrote. And then he says, as long as the Bevin administration exists, we will fight with all of our intellect, our talent, and our heart to defend the innocent. We will fight for life.
You want to respond to that, Kurt or Scott?
Well, obviously, the foundation of the nation was laid upon this these baseline principles where all men are created equal, they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, and then it mentions a few, and the first one mentioned there was life in the Declaration, and it says it's the purpose of government to secure those rights. So here's the program. We are doing everything but what government should be doing when it comes to its purpose. Everybody's forgotten what government's really about, and the primary purpose of government is to secure God-given rights. And this idea of life being the first one mentioned in the Declaration is completely ignored. And they say, oh, well, the Declaration doesn't have any legal, status. Well, it is the basis of what the Constitution brought forth. And so I think that that what's happening is preserving the blessing of life. It should be done. And everything else is just smoke and mirrors, and I wish them well. I think we've become so perverted and perverse, and those that wear the black robes in the judge seats and so many that sit in high places in this nation, that George Mason said it very well in the Constitution Convention of 1787. He talked about the fact that nations don't exist in the eternities and consequently must receive their rewards or punishments in this life. And I suspect that at some point there will be some comeuppance for this nation for abandoning our most weak, innocent, and voiceless.
I agree with your point for sure. Quick pause. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Scott Bradley, his website, freedomsrisingsun.com. When we get back, let's talk about Mike Pence. He's getting criticized, but I think he's spot on. Kurt has details in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, I always thought Mike Pence, although wrong on political issues, a fairly class act when it comes to Christian ideals. Kurt?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And in this case, he's getting some heat, they say, from, what's her name, Kamala Harris?
Kamala Harris,
you know,
yeah.
Wannabe Democrat candidate, and she says it's outrageous that Mike Pence would not meet with women alone, and Mike Pence is one of his senior advisor to Mike Pence. Her name is Alyssa Farah. It's not Farrah Fawcett, but it's Alyssa Farah, and she says, "I'm a female senior advisor to Mike Pence, and am wondering why you're repeating this false claim. He's elevated women to positions of leadership throughout his career and relies on their advice and counsel. Get your facts straight." Who Kamala was referring to was a 2002 interview where Pence revealed that he never dines alone with women other than his wife, Karen, and does not drink in public unless his wife is by his side. They say when Pence's comments resurfaced in 2017, Washington Post article,
okay.
Go back to sleep,
Siri.
I don't know why this happens, Sam. It doesn't happen any other time of day.
I've already told you,
but anyway,
you just don't listen to me.
Well, I just want to highlight it, I guess you could say. they say that Pence, his dumb, they called it a dumb dinner rule, that it promoted a worldview where men have no self-control and women are either temptresses or guardians of virtue. Final paragraph of the Breitbart piece says, despite the backlash in the press, New York Times poll from that same year found that most Americans agreed with Pence's principle of not eating alone with women other than his wife.
Well, I think he's wise, good. And that's why I say I think he's spot on with some Christian reality checks in many cases. I think he's wrong on a lot of political issues because he doesn't understand the supreme law. But other than that, this is an interesting discussion because I think it relates to almost all the immorality discussions we talk about. Scott?
Well, you might just stop and think, what if Matt Lauer or Bill Cosby had practiced that, what kind of benefit would have been for these young women that had so much trouble with them? And the concept, I scratch my head about, and I don't know what Kamala Harris's moral standard is. I wonder if there's ever been a circumstance in her.
Well, you remember she slept with, what was the guy's name? You know, basically a big shot in the California legislature, and he basically said he got her where she was. You know,
well,
in other
see,
words, he
going
moved her up.
We have to scratch our heads
right.
and say, what is this woman promoting, and who's got the clean skirts here, if you will? I mean, is there... they're the blood on their hands or whatever. I mean, think about this for a second. This woman, I mean, it's you could use all of the old aphorisms, the pot calling the kettle black and all this other kind of stuff, and you look at the moral basis of where she is based upon how she got there, what happened with Matt Lauer, what happened with Bill Cosby, and then you say, Mike, you know what? I respect you for respecting your wife and the situation that you have in being able to do things for the right reasons, not because of how someone else may have climbed to the top of the stack and on the whole, you know, corporate ladder or political ladder or wherever. I mean, I say, okay, people, it's kind of like Elizabeth Warren saying stuff against people that are trying to pull strings to get into college and saying, no, wait a minute, Elizabeth Warren, you lied on your application to get into school saying you were Native American because that gave you a leg up. Now, does that give you the right to somehow to point the finger at those that were trying to get in another route? I'm not saying anybody should do anything unjustly
of course.
Or illegally.
But let me highlight the reality here. Here's the bottom line. People who stand on a moral basis, people who are Christian, and people who try to do the right thing, this is designed to make sure that no matter what, they don't win. Doesn't matter what a Mike Pence does, he's going to be criticized and attacked because he stands on Christian moral principles. It doesn't matter what he does, they will never let him win. He either hates women or he sleeps with them. He either, okay, what I mean is there's just no way to win with the arguments these people put in place is the bottom line, right? I mean, that's really the end game with these people. And the mainstream press doesn't give you long enough or detail to discuss this or put those people who would point this out on TV. I would point this out in 2 seconds. What could Mike do? To win, to say, you know what? I do respect women. I'm on the moral high ground. And the only thing he can do, in my opinion, is jettison his Christian views. Then they'll be happy with him. Until then, he's trapped because we allow that to occur in our society.
Well, that's part of the problem is that we try and promote the idea that the only idea that's worth promoting is something that can be written on the back of a business card. And that's absolute falsehood. The rest of the story is where you have all the information needful to make a good decision. And I think people need to point out to Kamala Harris, now let me see how you got to where you are, and would you have done that had you followed Mike Pence's moral standard?
Yeah, but see, they're not going to give you the time of data. That's what I mean. You're not going to be able to expand on that. They won't put you on. They won't let you flesh it out. They'll just say, Mike Pence is a bad guy. There's no answer for him.
And by the way, that's the same thing that was used on the newscast that we just had at the bottom of the hour when they said that the guy that was the shooter in Christchurch said that Trump was a new white kind of identity kind of guy. The statement right after that was a slam against Trump, and they don't promote those things in the little sound bites that we get. And so there's only one image left in our minds about this guy, he's following Trump as a white identity kind of guy. But that isn't what he really said. That manifesto has much more information in it than a single sentence about Trump and white supremacy. It's just astounding to me.
Yeah, it's just an unhinged intentional manipulation. That's what I mean by about the race card. What they want to do is just say, hey, no matter what, Trump can't win. The only way Trump can win is if he abandons anything good and moral and honest. And same thing with Pence. And same thing with you and me and everybody else. All right. Now, I like Beto's, the Mexican restaurant. I like that food pretty good. This is a different Beto, Kurt.
Well, yeah, this one.
It's actually Beto O'Rourke, right?
Yeah. He basically put together pretty good first day of his campaign. Pulled in $6.1 million, according to reports. He even beat Bernie Sanders, Sam. So, you know, there you go.
What, $6.1 million in a day?
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
he kind of tied Ron Paul back in the day when Ron Paul did that, too, just interestingly.
But they never told anybody about Ron Paul's.
Well, they just said it, even when they had to admit it, they said it was bots.
That's
they even
right.
lied about it. Went point. Further. But anyway, the bottom line, though, is the Democratic list of contenders is growing massive. What do you think is going to happen there, Scott?
Well, I think there are a whole bunch of Me Too's. I mean, they all kind of look like Bernie Sanders to me, a little bit younger maybe. Some are a little more foul-mouthed and others are less foul-mouthed. But the point of the matter is that they think that anybody that can get to the top of the stack this time around is going to be the next president. My opinion is that any of those that are running at this point, that are running as Democratic socialists and on their thin ice, I think that if Trump ran a halfway decent campaign, he could crush any one of them, because the American people do not want to turn this into a socialist country. And Beto O'Rourke, I mean, just think for a minute. I mean, now, I know maybe some of your audience will not hold the same opinion of what I'm going to say now. And I'm not saying I hold this opinion, but I'm saying that in terms of the way the media has promoted Ted Cruz as probably the least likable guy in the Senate, and Beto O'Rourke couldn't beat the least likable guy in the Senate, and now he's their hero. And it's kind of like, holy cow. I mean, and they're giving him millions.
And they're even running with Stacey Abrams, too, another failed loser that they let give the counter speech to Trump. So, yeah, they're running on a losing campaign. Time will tell where it really happens. The only thing I take issue is when they say we will never become a socialist nation, or these people are pushing to be. We're already a socialist nation, sir.
Well, largely, most people don't know what socialism really is, to tell you the truth. And honestly, the two major political parties have just slightly different flavors of it. One's blue and one's red. But the fact of the matter is, if you really go down to the fact that socialism has to do with redistributing wealth and the idea of government ownership of the means of production and distribution and government in control of all of those things, I mean, whether it's fascism in Nazi flavor, or it's fascism in Mussolini's favor, or it's Stalin's flavor, or it's de Gaulle's flavor, it's all poison. And people are trying to put a different face on it. They call it progressive now, like progressive, you know, that's like we're moving forward. No. Gerald Ford ran as progressive after World War II, and he found that it didn't sell because the people had an idea what it was, and so he changed his affiliation to Republican, and he served as a Republican. And
there you have it. Just like Reagan changed from Democrat to Republican, too. All right, last story of the hour. Al Gore's in the news, Kurt.
Well, that's right, Sam. And, you know, a day without him is sure better than a day with him. But in this case, he says he appeared on some CNN program, says, well, just 99.9% of all the scientists agree with him about how tragic a situation we have with the Earth and then, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's just gobbledygook, isn't it, Sam?
Well, unless the mainstream press tells it, then most people believe the lie nevertheless. So there you go. But I don't agree that 99% of the scientists agree with Al at all. The question is how many of them are forced to shut up or they lose their whole position.
You're absolutely correct. They do not hold that position. This is a falsehood to the core. Just I might have mentioned this to some of you before, but about 3 weeks ago, I met with an internationally renowned Soviet, he was Soviet, now he's not anymore, but he's, let's say, Russian, PhD, three PhDs and stacked on top of each other in regards to, you know, things like climate and oceanography and everything like that. And I can't tell you in the two-hour meeting how many times he told me 100% of the math that is being used to promote the idea that climate change is occurring is wrong. He says, if climate change is occurring, it's not being demonstrated in the math that's happening, because 100% of what they're using as proof of that.
Amen. It's a big old lie. Last story. I'll get one more in really quick. Bernie 2020. Kurt, go.
Well, he's the first campaign to unionize, Sam. I mean, he's just moving forward in monumental ways, huh?
Imagine forced unionism, Scott.
Imagine what?
Forced unionism in a campaign.
Oh, well, that's what the USMCA is. The United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement is giving the unions huge power in this nation on an international agreement. We've got to talk about that again sometime.
All right. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. We're flat out of time. Kurt just sent me, like, literally what? How many stories, Kurt? Any guess?
I don't know, 10 or so.
He sent me probably 15 stories, and we got to 5.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, thanks for being alongside with the ride, ladies and gentlemen. We got to go maybe 5 hours a day.